Okay, then we continue with pension benefits.
Thank you, Hans.
Okay.
Good afternoon, everyone. Pension benefits that depend on asset returns is a narrow scope research project designed to consider only those pension benefits that depend wholly or partly on asset returns. The expected output of the research project is evidence to help the board decide whether to undertake standard setting to develop proposals for a targeted amendment to IAS 19 employee benefits. The purpose of the paper is to provide an update on the project status and inform the board of the nature and extent of consultative activities for this research project. Paragraphs 4 to 11 of the paper provide a background of information for the research project. The approach we are exploring is intended to address an internal measurement inconsistency that arises due to the use of different assumptions within the calculation of defined benefit obligations for benefits that depend on asset returns. Paragraphs 12 to 16 of the paper discuss the consultative activities we have held and are planning with a range of stakeholders in the first half of 2019. The research will involve outreach to establish whether the approach is technically feasible and would lead to an improvement significant enough to be worthwhile. During the second half of 2019, the staff plans to present a summary of evidence on this research project and ask the board to decide whether any further work is needed. If the research establishes that the approach being explored would not be feasible, the staff expects to recommend no work on pensions.
And to reiterate, the approach we're exploring contemplates only a very narrow scope amendment applicable only to benefits that depend on asset returns. We do not plan to address any other aspects of pension accounting in this research project, as any scope creep would almost inevitably spill over into many difficult and interrelated issues, which would in reality convert the project into a project of much broader scope. The research activities we have held or are planning in the near term are focused, therefore, on assessing whether or not such an approach is feasible, and if not feasible, we expect to recommend no further work.
Yeah, finally, there are no questions for the board, but the staff would welcome any comments the board may have. Thank you.
Sue?
I felt very positive about this until I listened to the ASAF discussion last week, in the sense that it reduced my confidence about our ability to, well, I still think it's sensible to scope the project the way that we're planning, and it seems to me to be a targeted approach that would address something on a fairly timely basis that is narrow in scope and at least separable from other things. The reactions at the table made me a little bit anxious about the reality of keeping that scope. I think particularly in the context of a standard that have got other aspects that people aren't really that thrilled about, some of which touch on discount rates. And so even though in theory we can be very specific about the scope, I'm not sure how willing people are going to be to let us be contained within that scope. And I just wondered whether you had any reactions to that. And the thing that in particular made me wonder, a couple of people raised points about the link they saw between the holdings of assets or not. Yeah. And my gut reaction to that was that it shouldn't have mattered, but it seemed that there were a few people who didn't share that view. Maybe you'd rather come back with it later.
I think, like, we noted the concerns on, I think some members were thought the approach might make sense, but then some expressed concerns, like to your point, Sue, that if the assets were held outside of the plan, perhaps that approach wouldn't be feasible. Certainly when we've discussed the approach internally and done our initial outreach with stakeholders, we continue to think that the same measurement approach, if feasible, would apply to all benefits, even if the assets are outside of the entity. But we do recognise that is an area that we should perhaps explore further, and so we propose to do so in a research over the months to come. And in terms of the scope concerns, we've tried to explain that it is narrow scope, and certainly we think that could be feasible, but there are some areas that we need to explore. And you're right, like some ASAP members were on board and other members said you should be addressing other aspects of pension accounting.
So perhaps if I can add a couple of things to that. First of all, I think probably in the ASAP discussion, we weren't quick enough to explain that the issue isn't really a mismatch with the assets issue. It's an internal inconsistency within the liability part of the measurement. It's made more obvious if you have the assets, but it's there regardless of whether you have the assets. And it's purely an internal inconsistency. One thing I took comfort from was that that some of the ASAP members who know the issue best and have talked about it best over the years and have also pressed us in the past to do a broader scope project actually did encourage us to press ahead with this, and they accepted that the board isn't going to do a broader scope project at the moment. And in fact, in that respect, I think we're further ahead than we were probably 6 months ago, where some of them were still pushing us to do more. So I took more comfort from that. I think there were varying degrees of understanding around the table, probably, which is partly a function of the fact that it's an issue in some places and not an issue in other places. So overall, my take is it is worth doing. It is still separable. We'll undoubtedly still get people who will want to talk about other aspects of IS19 regardless anyway. I think the board has to be absolutely disciplined about the scope, because I think as soon as you allow any scope creep, it'll be very difficult to stop. But I think it is a completely separable issue.
Mary?
I think, let me build on Sue's comments. I think there's, as Peter says, there's one aspect which is keeping ourselves disciplined, but the other is keeping stakeholders, because I think you get wound up when a subject gets put on the table, and you use it as an opportunity to raise the concerns you have. And I think we've got some strains in our relationship with users of financial statements about segment reporting, because we keep saying no, that's outside the scope of what we're addressing now, and maybe we shouldn't repeat that. So I think a key research question for me is going to be, how big is this problem given the risks that may be involved? And I don't want a massive measure it precisely kind of thing, but it's a, is this present in lots and lots of plans, and is it creating a 1% issue or a 50% issue? That kind of estimate about how big, if it is a mismatch, how big of a mismatch and how much potential distortion is there? Because if it turns out that it's more an intellectual annoyance than a usefulness of financial statements, I think as much as we'd like to tidy it up, we probably need to park it. So I think data about pervasiveness, especially when I pick up one of the points I got from the ASAP meeting, is that it's rare that the views we got are they believe it's rare that this exists in isolation, but that it's very often packaged with other promises that would be outside the scope. And separate, they questioned how easy it would be to separate out the piece that relates to this versus a piece like a guarantee that we would not be touching. And so that, I think, getting some sense of whether they coexist in complex environments, that it would be actually be very difficult for us to get improvement, is something else that would be relevant to us deciding whether it goes ahead. And we're not doing full-scale standard setting about cash balance plans, but certainly Russ Golden from the U.S. Financial Accounting Standards Board indicated that they'd had two significant uncompleted projects in this area and that some of their experience might be relevant to us. So certainly don't want to be marched through all that because we're not trying to do a full-scale plan, but to understand if they had any experiences that are relevant to us, just so we could leverage that experience, that would be good. And then in terms of I agree that the research that you do in the near term should include some assessment of the viability of the staff's planned approach, but I would encourage you to do less on the technical resolution and more on the, how big is the box kind of question.
Yeah.
But the more I have thought about the discussions that we had at ASAP last week, the more I've started to have questions about whether the proposal solves the identifies mismatch problem, particularly if you do not hold the assets. And if you do hold the assets, whether it solves the mismatch problem, if you don't, also force the same measurement of the assets. So, and the more complicated it either the more narrow it gets or the more complicated it gets or both, the less it becomes a higher cost project. So the benefit side gets important.
Gary?
Actually support the research. Just like the FASB, I think, you know, we've taken a couple of runs at this over the years too and got to the same, you know, dead end. I think if your list of people and groups you want to talk to, I think you should go to some of the big corporations and to the benefits directors people who actually administer these plans. What are they telling the employees and the participants? So I can guarantee you they're not telling, well, we're going to assume 3% of discount rates, 3% is break even. That they are not marketed that way at all. That is not what the employees think the exchange is. I mean, former life, I had managed executive a $10 billion cash balance plan as a trustee and controller of it and stuff. And I've been saying it for 30 years. This is a third plan formula. It's not a DB, it's not a DC, it's something else. And I believe that. Been living that for decades. I still do. And I think because the FASB ran into a dead wall and we did, it's because it doesn't fit neatly a DB or a DC model. I mean, I would hope you could find a way forward. I don't think it's an easy fix. And I think keeping scope creep out of it is going to be near impossible. So I wish you good luck and happy to help you. But I think it's... I do think you really do. My concrete suggestion for today is talk to some of the corporate benefit managers that administer these things, not the accountants. The actuaries, you can run numbers. Auditors can audit them. I mean, but what really is the essence of the plan that they believe that they've got for the employees? You know, in a lot of ways, it almost sounds like the variable fee approach. This thing, when you think about it,
that's encouraging.
But it does.
That sounds easy. It should be easy then.
I say this was easy. It does. And the other thing in some of these plans, you've got a defined benefit floor, you know, as well. A classic DB plan that's a floor, and this is an upside to it. Some, it doesn't really have a floor, but it's still a DB plan because it's not a DC plan, you know, the way things are defined.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Those words of encouragement.
Thank you.